Hello, Zoe. Welcome to the Heart of Connection podcast. Thank you for being a guest on the podcast. I'm your host, Mark Randall, and lovely to have some time with you to have a conversation about the Heart of Connection. Just by way of starting, Zoe, would you mind giving a brief story about yourself?
Cool. Thank you, Mark, for inviting me onto the show. So for the viewers, a brief story. I came from a background of personally going through a lot of trauma, a lot of adversity, and the pathway of my own inner healing, journey of healing mind, body, and remembering who I came here to be, to speak in a really simple way of putting it, led me down that path of training and modalities to do with the mind, trauma release, sensuality, intimacy, body work, yoga, all of that. So it's been a beautiful journey of that adversity and trauma, which would then unlock my gifts to then share with people that I get the pleasure of working with. In a nutshell, that's probably the most simplest way to describe it.
And where are you based? You're in Sydney?
So I'm in Sydney. I'm in the Inner West, Balmain, Rozelle area. And a lot of the people, oh, that's right as well. I'm also an energy healer, which has been something that sort of happened quite recently. But yeah, based in the Inner West.
Cool. I always love to go to Sydney and I love to sit at Circular Quay. There's something about Sydney that always draws me. And
yeah.
The bridge is just an amazing, that space up there.
Yeah.
I know I'm on a holiday, I'm in a different state.
Right.
I drove up there just a couple of weeks ago to get some chairs from IKEA. It's really funny.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, I can see the Harbour Bridge from where we live, which is pretty cool. I can see it from my children's bedroom. But yeah, it's a great, I think we're really blessed where we live. We have a great community and it has a really nice community vibe, which, you know, I think in a lot of parts of Australia that's sort of been lost. So yeah, I feel very blessed where we live.
So tell me, with the conversation, the Heart of Connection, when you think about that subject, the Heart of Connection, what comes to your mind and heart as you reflect on the Heart of Connection to self, others and all that is?
You sort of like summed it up in your sentence there, to actually even feel into the heart, we need to bypass and get past the mind, the what we see, the lens. And so it holds a really deep resonance in my heart from the journey of being very blocked in my mind and not really knowing where to turn and feeling very lost at times. And then having simple processes, processes that I would integrate every day that then started to bring my heart and mind into alchemy. So it's when we can bring both of them into alignment with one another, so they're working with one another rather than against, then it's really, really beautiful. And with that as well, the whole, you know, the left-hand side of the brain and the right-hand side of the brain is logic, and then the left being creative, and the, which I feel is more where the heart is fully expressing and it's free, what we each came here to share. So bringing them into harmony as well, that aspect of the mind.
How do you go about bringing them into harmony? How would you describe that?
So there's different ways that I've used with different souls that I've worked with. I've used the Vedic meditation, which comes from transcendental meditation, but it's been a really powerful, I guess, from my own and other people that I've worked with, to get past the mind and almost it rewires the whole neuroplasticity, but it basically gives the mind, or the noisy part of the mind, the ego, the I part of the mind, something to entertain it. So then the person that's actually practicing it actually feels like a moment of restfulness and peacefulness. And then over time, what that does, it then starts, because their mind gets to rest, they start to drop more into and have that be less in their mind and more not in resistance, but being able to get past, it's probably the easiest way to describe it, is getting past the security department of the mind that is stopping them from dropping into their heart, which obviously takes courage to let down the barriers. And then they start to have that heart-mind alchemy. The other ways have been through different trauma releases with activating the energy in the body, but bringing a soul into a really safe space where they basically get to drop deeper and deeper into their body and more into the energetic body, rather so moving past the physical and then into more of the feeling state, where their mind gets to be put to one side and they get to feel, how can I explain it? The energy starts to, they start to awaken the energy within their body, but then what starts to happen is they connect with the divine energy and that starts to flow through the life force. And that has had a really powerful way of finding out those areas within the body that are blocked, or this hidden trauma or this hidden stuff, old story that's hidden there in the tissues. And it sort of like finds its way through there. So it starts to bring in more light, which then they start to experience more of the feeling of love. And they have these massive releases through this very specific method. I'm trying to explain it in the most simplest way without giving it a name or a label.
Sure.
It's a healing process where the mind gets out the way, even the body gets out the way. So it's almost like, you can imagine when the body's in utero as well, it feels safe and it then lets down its barriers.
What's it like? What's the connection like when you can get past the mind and the body?
Well, it's freedom.
In that freedom, where do you go? Can you describe where do you go in that freedom?
Where do you go? Well, it's
What happens to you?
It will be different for everybody. I don't like to, you can have an experience, but to experience a state of nothingness, to describe it, there's still that logic of mind that is coming in there. So to, it feels light. Mm-hmm. It feels expansive rather than feeling contracted if you give it the opposite. It can feel, it's going to feel different things for different people.
Are you fully,
because there's different levels of it. It's not about getting to a destination. The layer, a small layer may dissolve, that then that person gets to feel into and breathe into that space, and then they have this, and that may stay for a certain time, and then they go back to old habits, or mm-hmm. then we're constantly expanding.
Is there a, when you're in that freedom, is there a deeper connection to self?
Totally, because there's no analyzing of it, there's not even any label giving to it. It's being in that state of total presence of, everyone says oneness, but it's, you have an experience of what love can feel like, with no other need of it being about another person. It's totally felt within the body, within that experience.
Pretty powerful.
I'm trying to explain it in the right way without giving any attachment, because that's the challenge. That's where the mind then goes, oh wow, I'm relaxing. Am I feeling that? And then the mind's playing this little game, right? So people that are listening, like if I start saying it's going to feel like this, it's like, well, hang on a minute, it didn't feel like that. Well, what's wrong with me? And that's when the mind kicks in again. So it's that. It's almost like when it's the feeling, if you can rewind back when you were like 5 and 6 and you were just in total playfulness and like focus, but presence of focus without any need to be doing anything, or I don't know, just this, I want to say like a state of nothingness, but to even say that without the experience of it doesn't mean anything.
What happens to the trauma when we're in that, when we're connected to that space?
Well, it starts to dissolve and it starts to be released in an energetic release. When we feel safe, when we're able to let down the shield, without any thought, without any going into it. See, that's the challenge I find. That's why so many people are stuck and blocked there. And they've put up the walls of resistance because they've time and time again, oh, let's talk about it. Let's go into that and let's talk about it. And that's like, oh, it keeps you stuck. So when you actually have that permission that you don't have to talk about it, you don't have to analyze it, you can just, you don't even have to have a name for it. It's just stuff releasing, it's stuff coming out. It's like it could be expressed in tears, in crying, in laughter, in sobbing, of just this like this heat going through your body, like this massive, or it could feel like you're choking as it's like coming out the body. But when it comes out, it's like this massive letdown. It's this, it's definitely like a letdown. It's like being in a state of constant tension and not even being aware that you have so much tension in your skin, to then just like relaxing and feeling like you actually have a different bodysuit on. That's the best way I can describe it.
Is the tension like an armoring?
The tension, yeah, you've got the armor, you know, the armor, the protective armor, the layers of armor, but sometimes it can become... I had an experience last year after doing 15 years of like massive releasing. And then again last year, another experience, which was my entire bodysuit changed. I was unaware. See, we can have the armor, but we can have the residual tension. We need to have some form of tension in the myofascia, like the tissue. Otherwise, we would just be like this jelly, piece of jelly on the ground, right? We wouldn't have any structure. But when you've constantly got that tension in your body and that's become your normal state of being, then to let that go, and it can be scary for people, and to feel, or to feel really alive as well, can be scary of people because they're like, whoa, they felt so dead and numb inside, and then suddenly feel this surge of energy flowing through their body. It can almost feel like orgasmic, and it's a beautiful, when you let go into that, it's a beautiful sensual experience.
When you, and it's sometimes really hard to cognitively describe what we're trying to talk about. It's it's more at a felt sense.
You need to experience it.
Yeah, more experiential, and I've always sort of gone the other way. For me, it's peace of heart, then peace of mind, not the other way. It's that, you know, if I'm into my heart, and, you know, part of my heart carries trauma, but if I can heal that, if I can heal that trauma, I can then reach that deeper essence. When we hit into that deeper essence, do you feel or sense that you're connecting to an energy greater than self? There's a, you're connected to a
you're the divine, the cosmic energy, the godly source, whatever you want to call it. It's the, that's that experience of oneness, right? Because the only thing separating you and I and everyone else is the vessel that we're in. And then that vessel has armor around it or stuff in it. And that's the separation. But it's connecting to the divine. And when people are releasing and they're activating this energy, there's no conscious awareness. They're not moving consciously. This surging energy is the divine. It's consciousness flowing through, almost penetrating every cell of their being. And the movements can be quite sporadic and sometimes going into like yoga postures, but that life force energy is like flowing through freely, and it's almost being allowed just to flow through and do what it needs to do.
What happens to our mental health when we're in that space?
It's mental wellness. You know, it can work, but it can sound really mental madness. It can, like, if you were a bystander and you were suddenly plonked in a room with this going on, what you would hear would sound like a mental asylum. Like, I've worked in psychiatric nursing, it would sound like a mental asylum in like they've gone into riot. Because there's people screaming, there's people moaning, there's people shouting, crying, sobbing, laughing. Like, it sounds crazy town for the onlooker looking in, but also as well when you're in there and there's other people around you doing that, it gives you even more permission of like, whoa, like, to get out the way of yourself, to get out the way of the mind of judgment, the mind of rightness or wrongness. And
is that the body's
it's powerful.
Is that the body's cathartic release of the residual trauma and what's trapped at a cellular level? Is it that cathartic?
Yes, it's releasing stuff, whatever it needs to release. It may be releasing, you know, and that's what I find with a lot of, you know, there's a lot of us that have been carrying stuff around that's not even our stuff. It's, you know, I think a lot in the Aboriginal community as well, a lot of the younger teenagers and children, you know, they've learned a lot from what they've seen, and they're already coming out so much more advanced because they've seen from the contrast. Same with anyone when they're born into where, you know, any child that's born into a family, and they're seeing from that. But then what's happening is things have been handed over by generations. So a lot of the stuff that I feel I've released from my body, and this may sound really confusing for maybe some of the listeners, but it wasn't even from this lifetime. There were things that were blocking and holding me back that I could not see. I had no conscious awareness, and this is like 6 weeks ago, and I work in this area, and this was another layer. But then having that removed from my energetic field, timelines collapse, it's completely shifted who I'm being now. It's like it's a never ending of this beautiful unlayering. And when those layers release, having that time to integrate, that time to feel into the new space and not being in a rush to have to get it. But a lot of that self-nourishment, and it's, you know, I think it's not necessarily what happens in the room. We're in there, we're doing these processes, but it's that's like opening the door to go deeper. It's what is happening in between that. And are people going back to their old habits, or are they starting to, over time, start to choose habits which are more nourishing for themselves?
It's like
to connect more with their heart.
And I think, you know, some of the new habits is learning to have loving kindness and compassion. They, you know, they weren't on the landscape.
For self.
That's
because,
right.
Yeah, because we do it all, you know, we're entrained from when we're younger, you know, have it for everyone else. When, you know, when you go to take a piece of cake, never take the biggest piece. Always take the smallest piece. You know, it's this whole, this has been ingrained since we were small.
Yeah, the conditioning.
Yeah, the conditioning to put someone, you know, and I've taught my children, they're 10 and 11, but they've seen from an early age at 2.5, 3.5, as I'm agitating and I'm doing my practice, do not disturb me unless you're either choking to death or bleeding to death. This is my time to teach them that I come first and then they come first, because if I don't put on my oxygen mask, there is nothing to give them, and I'm not in that state to be who I need to be for them.
As you're working through this process, does a deeper layer of the trauma come forward to be healed?
You know, if I look back at it from 15 years, because there have been layers, it doesn't all come out at once. It doesn't go, oh, that's it, it's all gone.
Yep.
What will come out will be what your nervous system is ready to process to come out. Otherwise, it's like something in the system blows.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes out in layers when it's ready.
How does
or when the person is ready for it to come out.
And
when they're ready to let it down, when they're ready to let go of it.
And that's when their psyche is ready.
Yeah, or sometimes there's a deep aspect that wants it, that really, okay, the psychology of people, you don't want to be in. If you ask people, or say, I don't want to be in pain, they'll avoid everything they can. But there's also an aspect deep in, and this can be challenging for people to hear. They actually, and I say this from personal experience, I loved the pain. I enjoyed being in pain because I got three things from it. I got attention, I got acknowledgement, and I felt some form of affection. Now, when I created more pain in my body because my body was so numb on the inside, I actually felt something. I was unable to feel, so I had to then learn to go beyond the pain, and that's where pleasure was found.
Yeah. Is there an inner calling within each of us to nourish and nurture that pain?
To, yeah, acknowledge it and nourish it and give it the space, like even, you know, grief. That's another aspect that I work really deeply with people is, you know, it's honoring that. It, you know, and it may not be grief directly to you, but everyone is, you know, grief for humanity, grief for Mother Earth, all of it. But really honor it and embellish it and, yes, milk everything you can out of it, juice everything out of it, and then put it down. See, it's more damaging, as you know, to keep playing that same thing each and every day. It gets exhausting. But if you're going to feel it, just really feel it. And like if you're really angry, then just feel really angry. Like anger is better than getting depressed.
Feel it to heal it.
Yeah, feel it to heal it. And that's, you know, it's that whole thing. It's like people, that's why I find the whole trauma release, you know, whatever doorway it is, energy needs to come out some way. And we either fart it out, we poop it out, we vomit it out, we purge it out in some way. It needs to come out of the channel, our throat or our butt.
As you've cleared the trauma in your psyche,
yeah.
What do you notice, what do you experience its role in your connection to others?
My role in connection.
Yeah, the clearing the trauma. Once the trauma, as we the clearing of our trauma, does that deepen your connection to others?
What's to that? Be a beautiful reflection for them that they don't need to keep carrying it around anymore. There is an invitation that they can actually, and it's not taking any. It's about to stop feeding it, but acknowledge it, honor it, and then show them that they can create a new story. They can create a new story. They can even change their past from what happened. They can shift it from the most traumatic thing into, like, I really do believe that I would not go back and change a thing. I really wouldn't, because I wouldn't be having that understanding now, and I wouldn't have remembered who I came here to be.
So the past is the teacher?
The experiences
is the teacher.
Were the teachings. Mm-hmm. See, this is going to be really hard for, you know, and a lot of people aren't ready for this, you know, depending on, you know, there's different phases of the trauma, as you know, like the acute. What I'm talking to about is chronic. It's been there for a long, long time. I'm definitely not referring to acute, because that is a different ball game at all. It needs to be handled in a very, very different way. And this needs to be handled in the nourished way as well. But it gets a point of where that trauma has become your identity. And it is, that can be the hardest thing, is to put it down and see it's not who you are.
Do we get lost in that identity?
We can get totally lost in that identity, you know.
And what happens?
You know,
And what happens to our connection when we get lost in that identity?
Well, you actually become more and more disconnected, and you're actually speaking from what I then noticed, a pattern. There was a pattern. So anyone who is listening, just see if there's a pattern. What I noticed was I was creating more scenarios, and they kept getting louder and louder and more in my face until I was like, wow, I'm actually being the cause, not saying it was my fault and not saying it was an unconscious projection. It's unconscious. I wasn't consciously projecting it, but on an unconscious level, the programming was so deep inside that I was angry with the world. I was pissed off and angry with the world. Mm. Then what did I attract? More things, or the vibration of another soul who had the exact vibration of worthlessness, hopelessness, helplessness into my energetic field.
The more each and every one of us heals our trauma and connects deeper to the essence of self.
Yeah.
At a collective consciousness level, what impact mm-hmm. might that have on Mother Earth?
Oh, it's huge. It's, you know, it's like the whole thing, why are we here? To know thyself. Mm. And suffering is a doorway to know thyself. It's also a doorway to discover happiness. And no matter what has happened outside of self, it's not happening in this moment right now.
Is there an unconditional love in that?
When you get through all of the junk of going through it and yeah. learning the lessons, yeah, there's unconditional love for all people involved in whatever that was. Because we're all learning, and it's all, you know, it's...
And what happens if we all collectively get into that thread, into that energy of that unconditional love?
Well, we understand the true meaning of compassion. Mm-hmm. The true meaning of compassion and unconditional love is to not change anything.
How do you think the energy of the universe would be if we were able to manifest that on a...
Oh, it's super powerful. So it's infinitely powerful. It's our natural state of being. But we have so many things out there that tell us that we can't, or we're stuck, or, you know, and so many subliminal messages are based on fear.
Are we returning there?
I think there's a fine line right now. I really feel there is a separation happening of really working with people that are really ready to change. People are like, yeah, I want to go down that path, rather than trying to convince skeptics. Yeah. I really feel that right now.
It's a beautiful path.
At the end of the day, it's all free will and choice. It's all free will and choice with whatever we choose in that moment.
But once we're on that path, it's an amazing path.
Oh, it's a beautiful path. And you know, it's like you can, there's no right or wrong turn. There's no right or wrong turn on this path. There's a way, and
are you touching
a beautiful soul.
As we're having this conversation, are you touching the path now?
Am I walking the path
yeah,
now?
Yeah, as you're touching it.
The path before.
Can you feel?
But I needed to get lost on the path to learn whatever I needed to learn.
What brings you back?
Right? It's no right or wrong. It was I asked to go on a massive detour before I even came back. I was like, you know what, just give it all to me. Yeah, I'm going to clean up this stuff. Bring me what I need so I can grow.
Well done.
Right? It's the teachers, it's the growth, it's the experience. If we can if we can detach and it's not, you know, and really discharge the charge around it.
And, you know, I'm really fortunate to be able to have these conversations with people like yourself.
Oh, I think we need to have more of this.
Yeah.
Because people, when they realize, if they were to turn off the TV and, you know, stop being fed the bullshit that we're being fed to keep us stuck.
Yeah, that's
Even the psychologist, when I came off medication, you know, I booked, you know, and I'm not saying do this, but, you know, I was like, I don't want to be on it anymore. And their answer was, no, another 6 months. I'm like, 6 months of what? Mm. 6 months of what? And then what? You know, they did not want me because they didn't know.
6 months of more suppression.
Mm-hmm. And when I started feeling numb, and then I realized, well, at least when I was all over the place in a crazy eight of high, low, high, low, if you imagine an eight on a horizontal, like high, low, it's your crazy eight. At least I got to feel something. I got to feel pain, or I got to feel excitement or something when I was on medication. I was flatlining. I was like, I'm dead.
From a holotrophic breathwork perspective, the Stan Grof stuff, you'd call that the spiritual emergency.
Yeah.
And we're not, the system, unfortunately, is, you're not set up.
I wasn't even breathing. I was like a balloon in the wind, and I think that will relate to so many people that do hear this or will know someone. So you're not a cause of your life. Mm. Your life is a pure existence from every other energy around you, and it gets exhausting. You just like trauma, drama, drama, and it's dizzy.
Yeah, but and from that we learn and grow. And how do we then bring that loving kindness, that aligned path to that space and hold that space to nourish ourselves in that space? Because, you know, I sort of jokingly say I'd love to levitate above Tibet 24/7, but I can't. It's just not, you know, I've got to live in this. Yeah. And when the trauma arises again, okay, how do I hold that space? And the more I can hold that space, the more I can then dissolve it in that aligned path. And that's the healing, that's the gift, that's that self-gift of totally deep, unconditional love. And the more we do it as human beings, this energy is going to heal Mother Earth. You know, it's just massive, and I think there's a real shift. I can feel that shift coming.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many of us on that aligned path ready to, come on, let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Zoe, are there any messages that you would like to share to listeners that, you know, to invite them to? Yeah, what would be a message? I know there's massive messages, but is there a message you'd like to put out there today? To
know that wherever you're at is a beautiful offering, and it's the perfect, and I know even in the most adversity where you feel it can be the greatest fuel to project you into the direction that is of your deepest desire. So to tune in to how your heart is to place your hands over your heart and simply close your eyes and just ask your soul, what do I need right now? And
it'll have the
to know that you're never alone.
Yeah.
And to reach out, There there's people that have, you know, like ourselves that have walked this path and we're still walking it. I'm far from perfect. I had a massive emotional release last night from a beautiful soul holding space for me who highlighted something which I was resisting to see. And it was beautiful. I got to cry and release with no story to say thank you.
Mm.
And then grow into that new space.
Yeah. Zoe, I really want to thank you for sharing this beautiful energy that I've been sitting with in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that connection. Thank you for the joy, the gift. And thank you for being part of the Heart of Connection Facebook community group.
Mm.
The more we do this, the more we put out there, what a beautiful healing energy that we can offer. We've all got that ability. We've all got that gift.
I want to say thank you so much. I'm like buzzing with love right now.
Yeah. Hey, let's come back to it another time. I just want to keep them around about 30 minutes so people can listen to them as they're traveling.
Yeah.
And let's reconnect.
Yeah.
We're connected on via Facebook. But yeah, let's come back for another conversation.
Thanks for all you do, beautiful soul.
Yeah, ditto. Thank you. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Mark.